I'm Maureen Cavanaugh. You're listening to These Days on KPBS. Breathe deep and smell your surroundings. Does the scent make you stronger or peaceful or creative? Does the aroma in your environment help to solve outstanding issues or resolve interpersonal conflicts? Probably not. But that's because you have not received an olfactory intervention from artist Brian Gilsenlider. His art installation at the newly expanded Oceanside Museum of Art attempts to provide institutional well-being through a new and exclusive scent. And if you smell something ironic about this whole concept, you're not far off the mark. But this art installation is a lot more than a joke. It questions some very basic ideas we have about art, museums, and entertainment. My guest, Brian Gilsenlider, is a San Diego-based artist and creator of Institutional Well-Being on View at the Oceanside Museum of Art. Brian, welcome.
Thank you.
And Terry Sowell also joins us. She is the Director of Exhibitions and Collections at the Oceanside Museum of Art. Terry, welcome.
Nice to be here, Maureen.
Well, Terry, you had a conversation early on with Brian that led to an institutional well-being fragrance for the Oceanside Museum of Art. Tell us about that conversation.
Well, I've known Brian for about 10 years and when he was a graduate student at UCSD and have kind of followed his career. He went up to Washington State and became a tenured professor, and suddenly he just gave that up, moved back to San Diego to spend more time full-time on his own work and building a home studio. So I immediately said, come on into the museum, let's talk. What kind of trouble can we get into? When we started to talk and we were looking at his art, and I was talking about our new expansion of our beautiful new building. We quadrupled in size a year ago. And I was talking about how the new building had really shifted how the staff works together. We're more separated, and those dynamics. And Brian said, well, Terry, I have a solution for you.
And Brian, what was that solution?
Well, the idea that an olfactory intervention could both draw attention to the museum, give it an olfactory brand, not unlike the visual brand branding that occurs with products and in institutions and ideas, but then it would also be something playful that would start to reveal the institutional dynamics at the Oceanside Museum.
Now, this is not the first time that you've had an olfactory intervention, is it?
No, I started doing it in 2006, and actually my first one was probably a platform that was bigger than what I had hoped it would be. It was at an art institution in Holland in Utrecht, and a giant institution called Centrum Beeldend Kunst that could be likened to the NEA was merging with a smaller institution in the heart of Utrecht because they had financial problems, but they had a phenomenal exhibition space, phenomenal facilities. And so I created an environmental wellness fragrance for them called Fusion. They didn't like the term merger. And so I kind of made a euphemism and called it Fusion. And in doing so, created a scent for each organization, and then created a scent where both fragrances fused into one. And it was very playful and at the same time critical enterprise. And it got me thinking that I could probably do this with other cultural institutions.
So, well, Brian, you're a conceptual artist, so everything is and is not as it seems, as it's happening. So I wonder if you could walk us through the process of how you go about developing the scent.
Well, the process is such that I need to create an atmosphere where people forget that I'm a conceptual artist. In fact, even forget that I'm an artist. And so this entire time, the fact that this was going to climax in an exhibition, essentially in a solo museum show, was the last thing that I wanted to remind people. So I essentially set up a very aestheticized clinical space at the museum in its upstairs kind of loft area. And I would interview people in this kind of like sexed up doctor's office. Everything was ultra slick and white and kind of neon.
You in a lab coat?
Me in a lab coat. And these people would come in to this this kind of theatrical space, and forget why I was asking them these very personal questions about the institution. They would take these wellness tests where I would provide them with single note fragrances and then use tenets of applied kinesiology to test whether their bodies go strong or weak in the presence of these scents. From that point, I identified only the scents that made people strong, and then kind of like took all that data and found the most scents that made the most people strong, set those out kind of the way that a painter might set out colors on their palette, and then try to resolve it in an evocative composition. And that's basically how I made each one of these scents.
How exactly did you measure whether the scents made people strong or not?
That goes back to the techniques of applied kinesiology, where you're actually either putting you're testing a person with a single stimuli, and in this case it was a fragrance note, so likely they'd smell it, and then I have a series of techniques at which I can use to test their muscles whether they're going strong or weak in the presence of this stimuli, and I just faithfully record those results.
And are you licensed in kinesiology?
No, I've studied it, but as I was telling one of the KPBS employees earlier, that this runs the gamut. I mean, this is a pseudoscience that, you know, classical Western science probably scoffs at, but even within its own domain, it goes from slightly less dubious to completely dubious. And, you know, I kind of like that idea as well.
What was it like, Terry? I mean, you went through one of these interviews and, you know, you kind of know that you know Brian and you know him when he's not in the lab coat and so forth. But what did you find out the interview brought out in you?
Well, I am used to seeing Brian in shorts and flip-flops and aloha shirts, and he does set a good performative stage or scene. When I walked into his laboratory and saw him in his lab coat and sat down and started testing, I really did get sucked into it. It was kind of, he became my psychologist and confessor, and he kept a straight face the whole time. And all of a sudden, you just kind of started to reveal some of the good and bad things of the museum. And it really worked.
Now, as you mentioned, Terry, this is a performance, but an actual scent is developed. And I'm wondering, Brian, how much of your own process do you come to believe while you're doing it?
Belief in the role that one is playing is central, because I love that idea. You mentioned at the outset that this project definitely has kind of an ironic foundation, and irony not in a kind of contemporary, trivial way that it seems to be used in popular entertainment and pop culture, but something that's more classical in a sense that it's a rhetorical device. You know, the inherent equivocality of irony, that it could be one way and it could be its opposite, and that inherently gets people to talk and think in kind of like real world terms about whatever the problem that's being posed in an ironic fashion.
And all the other people who wear lab coats to do things like this.
Right.
Exactly.
Well, and the power of the placebo effect as well.
Exactly.
You know, the power of suggestion.
So what does it smell like?
Well, I brought a box.
Oh, my goodness. And it's called Institutional Well-Being. Beautifully packaged.
Thank you. And away from the computers. You know, I noticed when I walked in here, though, that this might be a corrupted environment. It smells very tropical, and I wasn't sure if it was the room or if it was Terry. But I get this great kind of like aloha scent, and that's contradictory to the environmental
wellness
fragrance.
There's a bit of the ocean, I would say, bit of the ocean, and it's hard to really describe, but it doesn't smell like a perfume that one would wear. It
No.
smells like an environment.
Right. Right. I wanted something that you could imagine. In the middle of this installation, there's a room where we're pumping this stuff in, and it's pumped in on very kind of like nuanced, at very nuanced levels. And I wanted it to appear as though the walls were kind of breathing this fragrance.
Well, I wonder, Terry, what will people see when they come to the museum? And they are obviously going to be smelling something. What is it that they're also going to be experiencing in this installation?
Well, it is a unique installation in that the real focus is a scent. Some of the subversion of Brian is to choose something that is not very art-like. We tend to put a primacy on the visual when we think of art. So part of Brian's forcing us to think about art was to use a scent, which is something hard to kind of contain. But he did manage to package it and commodify it and sell it to us. But he did make it very beautiful. I mean, essentially, it documents the process of the testing. It shows wonderful flow charts of the organizational dynamics of the museum. There are different scent stations that you can go and smell the individual notes of the fragrances. There's a reading room with lots of books on olfaction from cultural studies, chemistry, art history, many different ways that you can approach this complex kind of topic. And the kind of final culmination is the final room where there's a 22-minute video, which is essentially a product launch that Brian staged.
You know, I'm getting it more now, this scent. It really is quite nice. It's not too sweet.
No. No, and it's got that kind of like edge to it that it's austere.
And I'm wondering, how are these ideas relevant to how museums function? What, in essence, is this saying?
Well, in essence, it's pointing to
in
the
organization.
Yeah, right. It's pointing to the organizational dynamics of specifically the Oceanside Museum of Art. But it's structured in much the same way with boards of trustees, with staff, and all these key players that allow art to essentially exist and to be consumed and to be a part of our lives. And I think one of the things that my art attempts to reveal is all the people involved in art worlds that are not artists that allow art to grow and thrive and progress, literally culture to be this living organism that does not stagnate.
And, you know, someone might hear about this and say, well, you know, it smells good, but is it art?
Right.
I can't see it. How would you answer them, Brian?
Well, I would tend to point to the fact that when somebody has an experience with art, that experience is an internal experience. It might be a visceral experience, it might be an emotional or a conceptual experience, intellectual experience, but the experience itself isn't necessarily a result of looking at something visual. It could just as easily be listening to something oral. It could be an olfactory stimulation that makes them have that kind of like meaningful experience with this. So the relationship of my work to conceptual arts history, not taking that into consideration, a person could come to the museum and see very many visual things, but not have as immediate experience as with a carefully placed scent. And again, it's one of those things that's very difficult to describe, much easier to experience.
And how are people experiencing it, Terry? What kind of feedback are you getting?
It's been very interesting. Some people are a little bit lost and confused, and I take a little bit of joy in that because they linger and ask questions and they're puzzled. So it's not that they're walking through quickly and say, I don't get it, and leave. Some people are saying, I don't get it, but they stick around and try and figure it out. And anytime art makes you pause and think and have a conversation about what you're seeing, I think it's successful.
And how long do people have to go and see this installation at the Oceanside Museum of Art?
It's up through, I believe, the first week of August.
Oh, okay. Terrific.
And, you know, I mean, there's the big event as well, the Fragrance Forum on April 30th, where we'll bring in an interdisciplinary panel of people to talk about olfaction, which promises to be exciting.
Yeah, I would like to mention that Fragrance Forum, which is on the 30th of April. We'll have Brian, who will be able to explain his work and in the context of seeing the exhibition. We'll also have Jan Moran, who is a fragrance expert and has created actually a Sensa technology, which Sephora stores carry. So that's very interesting. We'll have a psychologist who has an interest in sensory perception from UCSD, David Petterzell. And then we have an art critic,
Richard Gleaves,
who will also. So I think the four of them, and I'll try and moderate this motley crew, and I think we'll get some lively dialogue out of it.
And that is again?
On the 30th of April from 7 to 9 p.m. It's a Thursday evening.
I want to thank you both for being here, artist Brian Gilsonlighter and Terry Sowell, who is the director of exhibitions and collections, and all this is happening at the Oceanside Museum of Art. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you, Maureen.
These Days is produced by Angela Carone, Hank Crook, and senior producer Natalie Walsh. Our researcher is Pat Finn. This week, Tim Felton filled in for our production manager, Kurt Conan. Our production assistants are Romani Greenblatt and Jordan Wickett. The executive producer of These Days is John Decker. I'm Maureen Cavanaugh. Happy Easter. Happy Passover. We will be back next week. Listen for the Editor's Roundtable tomorrow morning at 9. You have been listening to These Days on KPBS.